This is Stephen Adams.
And this is Kevin Durant. Oh, sorry.
Kevin Durant. You're Kevin Durant, mate. Good to see you, mate. Different complexion.
Okay, let's go. Right.
So, this is Stephen Adams.
And this is Enes Kanter.
You're listening to the Down to Earth...
Down to Dunk podcast.
What? Down to Dunk.
Down to Dunk.
I'll
down
say
to
that.
Dunk.
Introduce yourself, mate.
Here's Stephen Adams, and I'm Enes Kanter.
And you're listening to Down to Dunk podcast.
Stay tuned.
Hello, and welcome to the Down to Dunk podcast, episode 284. We are missing Luke right now, so it's Jay with the introduction. Andrew's here, Taylor's here, Luke will be here. We have real basketball that has taken place. Tuesday this past week was the first day of the NBA season. The Thunder played on Wednesday. It is a great time.
It's great. Let's overanalyze.
Yes.
Yeah, it's our favorite thing.
So the first thing to remember is that the Thunder aren't as good as they were last year.
No.
And the Sixers weren't as bad as they were last year.
True.
And so with that combination...
True.
You end up with a game that should have been...
Boo! Spooky!
It's Luke, I'm late.
Luke. Today's the
You
real...
barely missed it, man. It was like a minute and a half
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, we...
I tried to be like you, and it was not very good.
It's okay.
You're being me for Halloween. That's what that means.
Oh.
Being Luke.
That is spooky.
I forgot this was Halloween edition,
spooky.
Officially.
Super spooky.
So I think one of the things I was mentioning to Andrew is here's the difference in this team than any team we've really had for the last 5 years. There's a chance in every game they play that they could win or they could lose. So they're playing Phoenix tonight. They play the Lakers on Sunday. Both of those games in the past, you'd have been like, oh, they're both home. Like, they're going to smash both of them or beat Phoenix and then smash the Lakers. There's always a chance it's going to be closer than it should.
Yeah.
And it's going to stress you out. And so we all need to start some sort of support group that says, hey, we're just going to have fun watching this team regardless. The hard part is that starting lineup with Victor Oladipo playing as poorly as he did, there's not much fun about that.
They were bad. They were a minus 11 in the minutes they played together. It wasn't good. But I mean, it's hard whenever it's Domantas Sabonis' very first game in the NBA, and he looked very, very timid. He did hit a three, which was awesome, but he looked pretty timid on the court. He did not look like he did in the preseason. And that was really disappointing because I was like, everyone's watching. Like, the whole world is watching this game because of Joel Embiid. And you just kind of want Domantas Sabonis to play well so you can be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no. He didn't look very good. He just looks kind of scared.
It took until the second half for him to really start actually playing. And Robertson, too. It's like, dude, you've been in the league now what? This is your fourth season in the league?
Shoot the ball.
Why are you still playing like this? Like, why are you still playing like, oh, this is, you know, this is my chance to be in the NBA. Like, you have the starting position.
Shoot the ball.
What is going on? You took two shots the whole game.
Yeah, I like some of what he was doing. And he was distributing the ball more. And he, on the break, he didn't look incompetent, which was really nice to see.
But I can think of one time that he did that. Like, throughout the whole game.
But
I mean...
I liked it.
The one time was great. I loved it. But I think that that is more... Like, those two being timid in that starting lineup is more of an issue than Victor Oladipo forcing. I think that's why Victor Oladipo had to force.
I don't think Vix was necessarily forced. Some of it was. Just trying to figure out what it was.
Yeah.
Well, the combination of the three of them...
He's got to hit a
three. Sucked the space out of
the offense.
I mean,
it was bad. So Russ has nowhere to go.
I mean, Robertson has to shoot it just to create space, just to even create the illusion of space.
Right.
He's just got to
shoot. Well, Sabonis, too, though. Like, there were a number of times he was up above the three-point line and would pump fake when he could have clearly shot the ball.
Yeah.
And he should have.
So let's talk about some of the good things, because it was rough. Like, there are times where it was rough. But like I said, this isn't your Thunder team of any time, and they are still figuring things out. I think one of the things is it happens every single year is, and you have to use the same evaluation for everybody, right? The Warriors get blown to pieces by the Spurs. Does it point out some things that are probably and possibly issues?
Yes.
But it's the first game.
Yeah.
nobody gets evaluated by game one alone.
Except for the Warriors.
Yeah, except for the, right? We all just, yeah, they suck.
Yeah, that was suck. Great.
They didn't lose by more than seven to anybody last year at home.
Yeah, there were issues.
They're the worst team in the league.
Right now?
Yeah.
Tied for the worst.
If the playoffs started today, the Warriors wouldn't make it.
They wouldn't make it.
Dang, what do you know?
So it's one of those things where
what do you know?
It's one of those things where you have to take a longer view of, especially of this team with rookies playing significant minutes.
This is a young team.
Super young. So talk real quick. So give me like two or three of your high points of that game. And I want to kind of get your opinion, both you and Taylor, about the minutes distribution. Anything surprise you? Anything about the rotation you thought would be different?
Russ was incredible. He really controlled the game. His passing was great. He was rebounding a lot more. He's crashing the boards a lot more than I thought he would. Maybe unnecessarily at times. But his shot making at the end of the game was the reason why they won. I mean, he hit some stupid mid-range jumpers on Gerald Henderson, who was playing really great defense on him, and it just didn't matter. So obviously he was the bright spot. He was the best player on the court, and he proved that. I also really enjoyed Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
He was incredible. And the crowd just chanting, trust the process.
And MVP.
Yeah.
MVP.
It was incredible.
Can I tell you my favorite part of the game?
What?
The old guy double flipping off Russell. It was awesome.
It was, man. I couldn't stop watching it.
That's NBA. That's NBA right there.
It's just so amazing that ESPN didn't blur anything or even kill the sound a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you can clearly hear everything that's being said.
Right. And the thing is that they don't zoom in on every single play like that.
No.
It just was just by chance.
And it was so perfectly framed.
So lucky. Yes.
It was from a movie or something.
It's just crazy because you forget this is the sport where they let the fans get the closest to the players.
That's true.
Like Russell wanted to, could have gone and just punched that guy in the face. Glad he didn't.
Jeff Van Gundy wanted him to.
Glad he didn't.
Glad he didn't.
But it's crazy. And I loved it. And this guy is just an ophthalmologist.
Urologist.
A urologist.
Yeah.
Not eyes, pee-pees.
Well, not two eyes, one eye.
But he
got him.
I guess, did you see the press release that he had?
No.
He said that he was a comedian, a part-time comedian.
That's so weird. We got to find
his voice. I know, I love this guy. I want to know him.
A urologist, part-time comedian?
Yes. It's number one, perfect combination.
It is.
I love fans that are that crazy.
I want him to come to every game just whenever the Thunder are getting killed because it sparked a 13-0 run. So let's go ahead and bring him to every game and just whenever the Thunder is sucking, just slide on in.
Mm-hmm. What a funny guy.
Funny, funny guy.
What a funny, funny guy.
Yeah, that's great. You know what? Actually, I've been thinking. I wanted to buy that guy a coupe.
That was my thought.
Yes. That's what I was thinking. He needs to take the edge off. He's way too hyped up.
Yeah.
This week I'm buying that guy a coupe.
Mine, so I've been thinking about
what are you going to buy him?
Man, he can really can't go wrong with any. I'm actually going to buy him an F5. He just needs, because he was like an F5.
A tornado. That guy was a tornado.
Tornado of anger.
Of raw emotion in the arena.
He really was.
God.
So I was thinking,
I love that people still, someone that old goes to the double flip off. Can you?
I think it takes someone of that age to go to the double flip off. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, he was beat red,
shaky, so shaky.
That just is a reminder that crowd was so hyped.
It was.
That was a lot of fun, man. If I wasn't thinking, oh God, this team has problems, I would have thought, man, that's a fun game. Because it was.
It was a fun game.
It was
a fun
basketball game. Both teams played relatively well and relatively not well. I was thinking, so when I was thinking about my coupe, buy that guy a coupe segment, I kept thinking we need to buy the entire fan base of Oklahoma City a coupe just so they can just take it down a notch.
Yeah.
Maybe relax a little bit. Because you start seeing people, it's that first, I don't know if it's our football background where one game can destroy a season. Everybody calm down.
Hey, we won.
They did win.
Well, a lot of it is that they're playing the Philadelphia 76ers. And if they can't beat the Sixers, I don't know. I mean, we'll never be able to watch Stephen A. Smith again. Because he would have just destroyed the Thunder.
I can't watch him anyway.
But they won, but there are issues, and they'll address them. I think that you see this roster, the more you realize it's an incomplete thing. The only thing that's hard is the biggest trade chip I thought we had is somebody I feel like has a real place on this team with Ersan. Like, I think Ersan was one of the best players on the floor for the Thunder. Just guts, man. Just he played shoots, really well. He takes charges. Obviously, Adams was really good. But I don't know, man. This team needs a starting lineup either to make some shots, or they need to maybe think about moving some people around.
Yeah, I mean, the spacing is a real issue, and we knew that it was going to be a problem, but it was a huge problem against Philly. I mean, they just packed the paint. Mm-hmm. They didn't even worry about passes that were going out to the perimeter. And, you know, that's where you kind of think, does Alex Abrines need to start? Does even Kyle Singler need to start? I mean, not like Singler shot really well. The other night he was 1-for-6.
No, but he was taking the shots, though. Yeah. And, like, the shots he was taking were the right shots. Like, you saw he got the ball and he put a shot up, and you're like, yes, that was what you should have done, whether you make it or you miss it. Yeah. And the one he made was so incredibly confident.
It was.
I was like, I'm on Team Kyle. I this is it.
It was a ballsy shot.
It was in transition, a pull-up three in transition. I couldn't believe he took it.
I mean, they just need guys that can hit threes, and there's a few on the bench, which is kind of encouraging. If you consider Kyle to be one of those guys,
he's a shooter.
But yeah, Victor Oladipo, he just really struggled, and they wouldn't have won the game without him, because whenever Donovan put him back in the fourth quarter, he came in and hit that jumper and then got to the rim, right away, which was really nice to see. And then that charge that he took on Joel Embiid at the end of the game.
That's a scary charge to take. Joel was steaming down the lane.
So, big.
Daddies don't get any thicker
than Joel. They can get a little thicker. Daddies don't get, you're talking about proportion. This boy is like girthy.
Is he? Thick daddy.
Yeah, he's a thick daddy. He's a buff daddy.
He's a yeah. He's buff daddy.
Buff daddy. Bad boys for life.
A thicker daddy, Eddie Curry.
Well, I mean, he could be out of shape and be a thicker
daddy. Right, that's kind of what I'm thinking about.
To me, thick daddies are muscular.
All right, we're moving on. Anyways, we're trying to talk about Victor Oladipo, and that just got hijacked. Sorry.
I think it's really hard, too. Something I noticed was, almost by design, it looked like whatever side of the floor Russ was on, Victor was on the opposite side. Yeah. So it was really hard for him to get involved in the play, especially when the guys between him and Russ are Roberson and Sabonis, who won't like move the ball. There was no flow or rhythm with them.
Yeah, even beyond that, like, he just looked out of place. He just was not.
He doesn't know his spot yet.
Well, and he whiffed on an alley-oop that he should have caught. And even on that last play in transition where, I mean, Embiid blocked him, but he just seemed to just be kind of out of control. And so I just think that it's going to take him some time, because he's a good basketball player. Like, we can't just write him off. I just think that it's going to take him some time to fit with this team and figure out his spots and feel comfortable.
What's the movie, Something Got Her Groove Back?
Stella Got Her Groove Back.
That's got to happen with Vic, and I think it's going to happen. Vicky, you go and get your groove back, girl. You
need to go to an island vacation. That's what Stella did, I think. I think she had an affair. Let's move on to top 5 power rankings.
Top 5 power rankings. Boo, 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 boo. Top 5 power rankings. Boo, 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 boo. Top 5 power rankings. Down to the podcast of a power ranking.
Okay, so we're going realistic top 5 in the NBA.
Yeah.
Not just how, like, are we first doing game this? Way overhyped. top five.
Are we going to do that? Who's looked the best in their first game? Top five power rankings edition?
Yeah. Who's looked the best?
Let's do that. San Antonio Spurs,
yes.
Number one.
Yes.
Cavs, number two.
The Cavs were impressive, but they were playing one of the worst teams in the NBA.
Top four team in the East.
I'm going to say the Bulls. Bulls beat the Celtics last night.
Did.
Looked really good. Dwayne Wade, 4-6 from three. Jimmy Butler, 4-6 from three. Bulls looked good.
They did look good. The Celtics were on a second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah, what a crappy way to
cool, the season. Second game of your season, though.
It's
what? It's not like you're worn down.
Oh, okay.
Speaking from experience?
Cool. The Clippers look good, too.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. I didn't see the final of their score last night. They won by eight.
So, who do we have? The Spurs, Clippers.
No, the Spurs, Cavs.
Spurs, Cavs, Clippers.
What do you think about the Hawks?
Oh,
I like Portland, too.
Yeah. I don't know. We don't know what we're talking about right now.
It's really hard. Wizards didn't look that good.
Yeah, so we're evaluating based on what we, you know, like... The first one game that they played, like obviously that makes it a little difficult to do. But I don't know.
Will you just put the Bulls in there?
The Bulls in there.
To fence him. Just fence him.
Fence the Bulls, Halloween. Fence the man.
The Pacers, the Hawks, the Celtics. Not the Celtics. They lost one.
I fenced the Taylor already.
Will you just fence him? Put the Bulls in there.
You guys are sounding like leprechauns right now, which are...
Happy Halloween! We're the spooky, murderous leprechauns.
So who would you have said was the preseason top five? You have Golden State, obviously San Antonio, the Cavs. I think Boston is somebody we put up there, and then the Clippers. That's who I would say. That's your top five. I'd put Clippers probably above the Celtics.
Yeah.
And that's a more reasonable evaluating our top five power ranking based on one game.
I wasn't expecting that either.
Yeah. So
you know who looked really good, and I don't know if it's because they played a crappy team. The Miami Heat looked really good against the Orlando Magic. Who
they did?
Were really bad.
What do we really think of the Orlando Magic, though?
I don't know. I thought the Magic should have won that game.
The Heat's lineups. The Heat team is weird.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize how weird their team is. You know who's the worst team maybe in the entire NBA?
Hmm.
You got a guess? Mm. Bottom five?
Mm-hmm.
I think Pelicans? The Nets have a challenge by the Pelicans. The Pelicans are awful, man.
That starting lineup. Jay, we were talking about this the other night. That is shocking to look at.
They had four guys. Lineup. I was like, huh?
Yeah, they're not going to be good.
Sucks.
Feel sorry for Anthony Davis, but feel so good for my fantasy team.
Oh,
he
man.
He's going... Man. He's going to have to do everything.
Yeah.
He took 34 shots.
He even said that he was going to have to do that every night for them to have a chance to win.
Oh, God.
50-17. Or no, 50-16, 5 assists. 7 steals, 4 blocks.
How many years has he been in the NBA?
Five now? Four?
I mean, just wasted.
No, it's five.
Just wasted.
Well, a couple of them he's been... two of them almost, he was injured for almost the whole season.
Still.
But yeah, I mean, he's the guy that, you know, people will make the comparison at some point. You know, does he need to leave? And he does. I mean...
He has to.
Unless they figure out a way to build that roster from nothing. Like, and I think it was Jeff Bauer that was still the GM before he went to Detroit that, like, the Omer Asik... pickup was bad. I mean, they're injured a lot. Like, they had a decent roster for the year they went to the playoffs. You know, you had Tyreek, who was playing well. Eric Gordon was healthy for part of that. Ryan Anderson. They've got to do something and quick.
Yeah.
Well, they picked up Solomon Hill, Etwan Moore, and Terrence Jones.
That's the thing. It's not like they're making any moves that are setting up the future at all.
It's going to be hard. And they... New Orleans is a bigger market just by name, but it's not in a lot of ways, in the sense that it'll be very difficult for them to ever draw a big free agent. And they keep trying – they're trying that stopgap way to do it. Like, you really need to have a couple seasons where you're doing whatever you can to get into that top five.
Well, the biggest thing is that. sorry.
Mm.
Drew Holiday can't stay healthy because he's good. If he was on this team and was playing, then they would have a shot at like the eighth seed. But his inconsistency as far as his injuries and now his really horrible situation that he's in is just a huge part of why the Pelicans are horrible.
Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, this kind of leads into our first Twitter question.
Twitter questions!
It comes from at @D_Ray, who wants to know, is the NBA slowly trending back toward big men superstars? Anthony Davis, Towns, Embiid, Turner. Does that add even more value to San Antonio?
Steven Adams. Right? He's talking about Steven Adams.
What?
I think Steven Adams.
They said SA in the
Twitter. Yeah, that is
Twitter. Really? I thought it meant San Antonio.
That does, but that would not make sense.
Well, yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, Steven Adams. I was trying to answer the second part of that question in my head. Does it add more value to San Antonio?
Yeah, he's talking about Steven Adams.
Oh, yeah. 15 years ago? Yeah.
Oh, maybe you're right.
When David Robinson and Tim Duncan were on the floor together? Yes.
Sorry.
When you have a time machine, it really makes a huge difference.
So the thing is, so Dan Levitard.
Biggest difference.
Dan Levitard was talking about this on his show yesterday of how it's evolving in a way that's different. I think the biggest change with all four of those guys is it has to be a big man that has range, right? Mm. Like all of those guys. And Turner, that's not, I mean, he can shoot from three.
He's got range.
Oh, yeah. He has the ability to do it. They all four can put the ball on the floor. They just are kind of that hybrid position that finally is coming to fruition where everybody that's big in high school, everybody that's big in middle school, like they start getting forced to move further and further out to the perimeter. They don't have as much back to the basket game as a generation before. But these guys, man, I was talking to the guys last week, is watching Karl Anthony Towns, man, that dude,
he's ridiculous.
Yeah, and
he can do it all.
Embiid's gifted. Embiid is more of your stereotypical.
He's a big guy.
And Turner's kind of a hybrid of all of that. Like, he can do a little bit of both, but he's a bigger dude, and so he does spend some time at the block. And then you have Anthony Davis, who, if he wasn't in New Orleans in a terrible situation and didn't get hurt for two out of the last five or six seasons, he would be the guy that everybody was talking about as much as they are Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah. Yeah, if you subbed him for Towns. Like, you'd still be just as excited for the Timberwolves, right?
Oh, absolutely. Maybe even more.
I'd be more excited for the Timberwolves. I'd think they were better.
Okay.
And the other part of that, so finishing up that question, is that he add even more value to Steven Adams. And the fact defensively that he's growing in importance. But for some of those guys, like, Adams isn't going to be great at guarding him one-on-one. Like, he's going to have trouble against some of those guys.
Well, the thing is that there's just people that you can't defend, right? There's guys you can't defend. Like, a great offense always beats a great defense one-on-one. Isn't that right?
That's absolutely true. And you saw some of that.
Yes.
And one of the things that was funny about that Sixers game with Steven Adams is Steven Embiid didn't shoot very well. People kind of overlooked that he shot like 30% from the field. He had 20 points. Shot a lot of free throws. And some of that is they were making jump shots, and that's what changes it. Like Jahlil Okafor, the only shots he made were fadeaways, you know. And that's one of those things. If you're making fadeaways from the post position, like, you can't guard that. Like, you really can't.
Yeah.
Or at least well. And Adams had some. He's probably going to look at film and be very frustrated with himself in that game because he gave too much space.
Yeah.
You know, what he has going for him over all of those guys is none of them physically can match him. Like, strength-wise. And so he needs to push them further and further away from the basket. Because once you lose position, you've lost the game already with the guys like that, you know?
Yeah, he gave too much space when Embiid was facing
him.
Yeah.
You got to crowd that.
Yeah.
The issue probably is the fact that he got in foul trouble, you know, because he gets crap called on him that, you know, some people would get looked away, but Adams is going to be good, and he scored well in that first game. Sometimes I wish they went to him a little bit more, but it was hard. You can't feed the post whenever all five of the other teammates are or other team is in the middle.
Yeah, and he was passing well too.
Like, that high low with him and Cantor.
If Cantor didn't miss some of those bunnies, then Adams would have had like probably 4 or 5 assists. But Kanter missed a lot of those and would get his own offensive rebound and then put it back up.
Little, yeah.
And then you lose an assist, which is so stupid.
Little bunnies.
Cute bunnies.
Hey, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at LilBit77, who says, Presti can let all the expiring contracts expire for cap room, but Adams, then deal Kanter at draft. Your thoughts?
They're not going to let Robertson go. I'll say that.
What about Vic?
They're not going to let him go.
So here's a question, maybe just to continue that thought, is if Vic is sitting there at the trade deadline and he hasn't gelled, hasn't fit, not hitting shots, not hitting threes, is there a chance that he, because that, I mean, if you package him, Kanter, him, Ilyasova, him, Cam, you know, I don't think I'm giving away both of them, but him, Joffrey, I don't know what it looks like. I think you have a way better chance of pulling back a wing or a...
Well, the only way that would happen is if somebody came on the market that people aren't expecting.
Yeah.
Like if Paul George came on the market or if Jimmy Butler actually came on the market, like something like that where you could definitely flip him for a guy that's better today, right now.
Yeah.
Then I think that, yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. And somebody who's already under contract, which would be helpful. But they're not just going to trade him to trade him.
No.
Because you're not going to be able to get
You're not going to move him for Rudy Gay.
Oh, my God. I would not be a Thunder fan anymore. If they traded Victor Oladipo for Rudy Gay, this pod would be over.
Yeah, right.
No.
You said that. You've now threatened that like 6 times, and it is yet to happen.
Yeah, because none of the things we threaten with have happened.
Actually, one of them has.
Mm-hmm. What was that?
I don't want to talk about
it. Okay.
Okay, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at OwlBabyCakes, who wants to know whose minute total was most surprising.
Ilyasova, to me. Based on what his preseason play was like, and even just how much he was playing in the preseason, then he comes in and gets, what, 21 minutes?
23 minutes.
23 minutes.
Yeah.
Which I think, I wonder if he wasn't, they weren't planning on him playing that much, but then he played in the first half and they're like, oh, we need a confident shooter out there and a competent player.
Yeah. He was good.
And so then, but that surprised me, 23 minutes for him. I wasn't expecting to see Abrinas.
At all?
At all.
Why?
Just because, I don't know. I don't know. I was expecting to see him later on, but I didn't see him early in the first or second quarter, so I just wasn't expecting him at all.
He's earned minutes.
I thought.
Yeah, he's good. I liked him.
You surprised you didn't see Morrow or?
No, I thought we would see Singler and Abrinas' minutes flip-flopped. Like, I didn't think Kyle Singler would play 21 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought that Abrinas was going to come out and play 20 minutes.
Dude, Singler is the sixth man.
He
was first off the bench.
God, he was still 1 of 6. 1 of 5 from 3-point line.
It's really exciting.
I swear you wouldn't know it,
though. You wouldn't know it.
He didn't miss all 6.
So. He had 1 rebound.
I was surprised that Victor Oladipo only played 23 minutes in the game, and it's just because he was playing so just god-awful.
This says 26. Not that it matters too much. On NBA it does, at least. But
I'm looking on Basketball Reference.
Something more reliable. Hmm. Yeah, he was bad. That has to be part of it. And trying to get him, I think they're just recognizing, and you can read his body language, that he's just mentally struggling. And so he needs a game like tonight. That's why you hope something comes together on a night where there's going to be energy in the arena tonight. It's going to be the first home game. You're playing a team that you should be able to get your shots up.
Your mojo back. Your groove.
I don't know. Sabonis only played 16 minutes. I thought he'd be closer to 20. Some of that's also because he was so out of it. And then Irsong came in and played well.
This team is just they're just gonna ride who's ever playing well.
Yep.
Like there's guaranteed minutes for Russell Westbrook and Steven Adams. Then everybody else is just gonna be dependent on how the night's going, how the matchups are.
It seemed like Robertson's in that group too, because he wasn't playing super well.
Yeah.
Defensively he was good and you needed him out there, but
you're right.
31 minutes.
He played a lot.
32 minutes pretty much. That's a lot.
26 minutes for Victor Oladipo. I don't know why Basketball Reference has him at 23.
So what about Kristen?
I I liked what he did. I wasn't surprised at his minute total or anything, but I actually thought that he played well. That's me. That's my foot.
Oh, that's like sorry. something grabbed me. Yeah, I don't know. I think every night may be a different look.
It's going to, yeah. There will be nights where Victor Oladipo plays like 36 minutes.
What do you think of Russell's? Is that too many? Is that?
I mean, 36 minutes against the Philadelphia 76ers is too much.
Sure.
They needed him to play that much, but I didn't like it. Same with Adams. 36 minutes is too much for both those guys. It's fine, but I just felt like it was a little bit too much. But that's maybe where both those guys are going to have to be to win games. If they're going to win games.
That's what I'm saying. You can't take them out and then risk losing to the 76ers on the first night. You know, like, that's a bigger deal, I think. Just play them 36 and beat the Sixers.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @iTeach. Who wants to know, does Ilyasova get so many charges because he literally just stays in the taking a charge position 90% of the time he's on defense?
He's a charge hunter. He's even talked about it in interviews where he's basically he's sizing up whoever he's playing and knows like when to take a charge from them.
Well, he's got a great mentor on this team in Nick Collison when it comes to charging.
Except for Ersan's like
better
at it. He led the league, what Nate Duncan said, led the league in charges, and it wasn't even remotely close last year.
Really?
Yeah. He's a charge hunter.
That's hilarious that he's really looking for.
His specialties are threes and taking charges.
That's what Jeff Van Gundy said on the broadcast.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. Talked about that specifically.
That's awesome.
It's funny.
All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @AaronTerrell, who wants to know if every member of the Thunder can star in a movie, what would it be? Adams is easily Lord of the Rings, while Cantor is Borat, etc.
etc. etc.
That's great.
I could see Russ being in like the next Expendables. Like him, yeah. Terry Crews, Sylvester Stallone, Jason Statham.
I think that Collison needs to be in some kind of romantic comedy.
He's like, You Got Mail Part 2.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You've Got Mail. Yeah.
When he's like a sleazy mailman, right, Luke?
No. Yes. Gah.
Yeah.
He'd be the male lead, Taylor.
Luke says, yeah.
He could be in Forrest Gump 2 as well.
Any Tom Hanks movie?
I'm just trying to think of every
Sully.
Tom Hanks movie. Yeah.
So, Ilyasova should be in the new
Terminal.
Frankenstein, he's so spooky.
He is Frankenstein.
I mean, he is.
He's a monster.
Dean monster comp was, that just floors me every time I see him.
It's really good.
It is. It's perfect.
Really good.
He does look like a monster James Dean. He does.
It's hard, and this is maybe something to think about, is the fact that most of the rest of them I can just see is like, extra, like guy sitting in crowd 7, you know, or it's like I'm thinking Robertson, like guy walking down street.
Yeah, what would Robertson?
Yeah.
Could he be in a movie?
No.
Yeah, it'd be a weird like supermarket worker who's rude.
He'd be like
to
the Nick Cage, where it's just like he doesn't do it well, and yet somehow continues to have to be a part of movies.
Yeah.
Are you guys familiar with Not Another Teen Movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you know the guy who is in love with the girl. It's like her best friend and is constantly hitting on her, but she's not interested. Her best friend. And he tries to start the slow clap throughout the whole movie and he can't do it until the very end when someone else like beats him to it.
Right.
That's Kyle Singler.
That was a long setup for good
payoff. You're right.
Can't disagree.
I'll tell you what, you're right. Kyle Singler would be in a swimming like triumph, like overcoming adversity movie.
Swim Fan? It's the only swimming movie.
Or Kyle Singler.
Swim Fan.
Or Kyle Singler is the Christian Bale's character in American Psycho.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Have you guys seen, what's that dragon movie?
Dragon Tail?
No.
Dragon Heart, that's good.
No, it's like a very serious. Let's move on.
Dragon Heart.
I love Dragon Heart, though. I do love Dragon Heart.
Dragon Ball Z.
No.
Dragon Bender.
When people talk about Braveheart, I just bring up Dragonheart because I like it so much better.
It's bad. You guys like Braveheart? Well, I like Dragonheart.
I know. Right. They're not the same movie
at
all.
Let's move on.
Reign of Fire.
Reign of Fire. That's what I was thinking of. Kyle Singler would be in Reign of Fire.
Great one.
It's tough.
Let's move on. Our next Twitter question comes from at Aaron Terrell, who wants to know, would you rather be Russ's right-hand man for a whole season, traveling and everything, or do a month in New Zealand, or do a month New Zealand trip with Stephen Adams?
Sorry, we're in a Reign of Fire hole here.
I had a Reign of Fire hole.
Okay. Where do you guys know what the question is?
No.
Would you rather spend a whole season as Russ's right hand man, traveling and everything, or a month trip to New Zealand with Stephen Adams?
I love Russell Westbrook. I don't think he has friends other than his family and his wife.
It'd be hard to be his friend.
I'd go to New Zealand with Stephen Adams in a second.
But if you could get in Russ's inner circle,
you're there forever.
I don't know if I want forever. I just want a month fling. You know what I'm saying? Let's go to New Zealand to have the time of our lives, Steve.
Oh, who's
and then let's go.
Oh, who's your best friend? Oh, it's Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, that is, and then people are like, oh, really? Is he kind of a different D to you? I'm like, yeah, probably, yeah, but he's my best friend.
Have you not read anything about Russell Westbrook lately? What's he's a great guy. He's
that's
loyal.
True, that's true.
He's a loyal man.
Yeah. Have you seen his commercial? It's awesome.
It is awesome.
It is awesome. I really liked it.
You wouldn't want to be...
I could have been in the commercial. Okay. If I can be in the commercial, I'd do it.
He'd let you in the commercial.
That's right. And you ask, you're in.
What?
Yeah, you're
in. That's true. You know how you would have so many cool clothes and glasses?
And you and him shoes, would dance kilts. All the time. All
right.
You'd be like, hey, what do you think kilts? Of this move? And you'd be like, that's good. What do you think of this one? And he'd
be like... Y'all just be singing like Taylor Swift and dancing?
Yeah, God.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Okay, you guys won me over.
Okay, Stephen Adams for a month. I'm still doing it.
Stephen Adams for a month is still a really great thing.
Yeah. It is. It is indeed.
Oh, it is.
I think that I don't want
to be Nick Collison and Stephen Adams' friend, though. Like, on some of those trips they take to Seattle. And you know, it's strange.
You could be in that, Jay.
I could mold right into that group. They wouldn't even recognize me. That I was, hey, who's the new guy? Just one of our friends.
I just want you to show Spencer Hawes a picture of me and be like, this Taylor, he really likes you.
Yeah, he loves you. He's got a picture of you hanging up in his house.
Yeah.
But in a not weird way.
For me, what's the funniest relationship is how it seems like Andre Roberson is really good friends with like Stephen Adams, Nick Collison. Like they hang out.
Yeah.
He was the one that went to New Zealand, which may be a Thunder thing. Thunder may have designated that.
But. Adams and Roberson were drafted together. They were rookies together.
But what if you could spend like a summer touring the world with Cantor and Adams?
With both of them?
Yeah.
Oh man. Be fun. You need some good food.
You'd have to grow a mustache.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'll just shave my beard to a mustache.
Okay.
A mustache.
Deal. Let's move to our next Twitter question. It comes from at B. Dub Guero, who wants to know, if you could get Blake Griffin or Gordon Hayward after this season, who would you want and why?
Gordon Hayward.
I'm taking Blake.
I'm taking Blake.
Gosh. All right.
Blake is better. He's a superstar basketball player.
He's better, and what for on this and team not is a kind of in
not
the
a,
way.
Not a football player or a soccer player, basketball player.
True. All those are true facts. Blake's a superstar.
Yeah.
Gordon Hayward is a star.
He hasn't even made the All-Star team.
That's true.
He's good. Gordon Hayward is very good.
I'm just trying to keep
fit. He fills a position of need. But the thing is that the Thunder aren't set at any position but two.
I think Blake fits next to Steve.
He fits really well next to Steve. They would dominate.
You know how there'd be some passing bigs.
That's what passes and dunks. Oh, mama.
Yeah.
And Blake's been moving out to the three, too. I mean, he has a good jump shot.
All I know is if you pull that off, you've got to trade almost every other wing player you have.
Who cares? You just do it.
I know. But, you know, like, I'm going to get shooters. That's all I'm going. Like,
yeah.
One more shooter, I'll give you Vic and... whatever,
you just bring Vic off the bench.
Yeah. But if you're, I mean,
you start Abrinas.
Yeah, Oh my gosh, give me a Brandis all day.
I'm just saying, man. Yeah, you take Blake every time, and we don't have to talk about it anymore because it's not going to happen.
Yep. Okay. Our next Twitter question,
or is it,
comes from @TylerBeats1, who wants to know, or who says, Cantor has been talked about as a trade bait, but isn't he the Thunder's third best player right now?
He was on Wednesday. I still think it's Victor Oladipo. I think Oladipo still has, he's better on both ends. So I'd still give it to him. The problem is that if he is our third best player, he plays the same position as our second best player, and that's a problem. That's why.
And you can play them both together against a team like the 76ers, but you can't do that.
Not every night.
No.
They'll do it more than we probably think.
Well, I agree.
Well, the thing is that they're going to have to.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, you don't want to have all that talent in one position and play a lineup that you can't play every night.
Spread the wealth,
and all the money. They're going to have to extend Adams at near max money.
Can you pay a guy $17 million and only play him 24 minutes on a team that is
starved for other
pieces? That's not, yeah, that needs shooting. Oh my God, you guys. All right. I don't even know what we're talking about.
Okay. Well, the centers are the one percenters on this team, that's for sure. Spread the wealth.
Okay.
We need top-down distribution.
Let's move to our next Twitter question. It comes from @J_dub_25. He says, what would it take to get Robert Covington? I really feel he could be a nice fit.
I don't think the Sixers are going to trade Robert Covington to the Thunder for what the Thunder want to give him. I mean, honestly, what it would take is Cameron Payne to even get the Sixers interested in trading for him.
He's so overvalued anyway. He's not that good.
He would help the Thunder.
Why?
Oh, Taylor, not a Rub Cub fan?
No, he hasn't shot 40% from the field his entire career.
I think that his skill set and his ability to play the four would be helpful to this team. But
I just think he's slow, and I think he's overvalued, and I don't think he's very good.
He's okay. He's an okay player. He's a rotation NBA player. And he would be better than a lot of the guys on the Thunder. But the Thunder aren't going to trade for him. He's in that value range where the Thunder don't need to give up a guy like Cameron Payne for him, but then they don't really have anybody else that would be able to get him. He's making like less than $1 million, which is super nice. But
yeah,
they're going to take some homage for him? Like, no. Like, they're not going to do that.
You never know. You never know. Let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @WhiskeyAddict, who wants to know, where does the scoring come from? Can't just rely on Russ and Steven Adams or San Antonio to get us by. Divvy up the remaining 55 points per game.
That's a very specific Twitter question.
It's just going to come from different spots every
night. It's got to come from Vic. Vic has to play better.
He will be better.
I think so too. But he has to be the guy. Like, he has to be that third option. And that may mean at some point that he gets pulled quicker with that starting lineup. And so they play in the first 4 minutes and pull him, and then let Russ play another three, and then Vic comes out with Samaj. Which is crazy, is that, and that's what they tried to do, at least in the first half. I think that one of the things that sucks, and I know you're talking about things you can't control, but campaign next to Vic is a way better deal than Samaj and him.
Oh, yeah.
Just because Cam can shoot. Cam may be one of the top three shooters on this team that can actually be on the floor.
Yeah, it's a problem. But the scoring is going to come from different spots, you know. I mean, Cantor's a guy that you can obviously rely on to score. Like, he's going to score every night, 12 to 20 points a game.
Oh, yeah.
I think Abrines is going to have to play more. His ability to shoot, his spacing is going to matter, and I think that he's going to have to play a little bit more.
And I didn't really feel as if he was that. I mean, and maybe you can speak to this a little more as far as maybe something I didn't catch. I didn't feel like Abrines was that much of a liability defensively.
I didn't think
now,
so.
Now, the Sixers don't have a lot of...
He's going to get killed, but the thing is that the Thunders are that desperate for spacing and that desperate for shooting that you have to, there's give and take with this team.
And his feet, his lateral movement is so much better than Morrow that that's why he's going to keep playing too.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have to have a shooter, and then he's just a little quicker than Morrow, so he's playing.
Yeah. So, I mean, the scoring is not going to be consistent. This team is going to struggle to score the basketball.
Go ahead.
Their half-court offense is just not going to be good unless they make some kind of major trade that shakes up this team. They're going to have to play fast. And I was kind of impressed that Russell Westbrook only had 2 turnovers the other night. I thought that was a pretty big deal because if this team can only turn the ball over 10 times and if they can play fast and get into their sets faster, I mean, they just can't pound the ball. I mean, last season, you can pound the ball as much as you want because you have Russ and KD ready to shoot the ball, and they can score on anybody. But Russ can't pound the ball anymore. These guys can't pound the ball anymore. They got to get into their sets fast. This team has to play fast. If their offense is going to be, you know, a better than average offense, you have to play fast. It'll come down to who's shooting the ball well, and the scoring is going to have to be spread out because there's no dominant scorers outside of Westbrook, Adams, Oladipo, and Kanter. Then it's just going to be like, maybe Kyle Singler hits 3 threes one night. Maybe Ilyasova is playing well. Maybe Samaj is getting to the rack. I mean, it's just going to – there's no consistency outside of the 4 guys that I listed. So,
well, that's what you're saying, that we're just going to have to ride whoever's playing well.
Yeah, maybe Singler, maybe –
yeah.
Abrinas. It may be Irsan.
Maybe, right? Robertson will shoot the stupid ball.
That's
they'll shoot tonight. If they can't shoot tonight, they need to be moved. Not off the
trade
team,
them.
Like
not, wave them.
No, I didn't mean it like that. But like, you've got to switch up the starting lineup.
I agree.
Because tonight, like, you got the green light. All of these guys have the green light.
Shoot the ball. I mean, Russ was so mad at Robertson
that one play where he pump faked and he had the shot and then he went in and passed the ball off to Vic for a
dude. Shoot it. If you're going to be on the floor for 32 minutes. He's on the floor for 32 minutes. You can't take 2 shots.
You gotta shoot the ball.
You had 1 point.
You know what the most impressive stat line for me was from Russ?
2 turns.
2 threes.
Oh, 2 threes. Oh, yeah, that was good.
2 3-pointers. That was the biggest fear we had, is that he was just going to start jacking up 3. He didn't shoot. He shot 2 and made 1 of them.
Nope. That was good. Oladipo took 5, missed them all. Clankety clank.
Hey, he took them, though. They were in and out. A lot of them were in and out.
Almost down. That is true.
Clank.
Okay. This is a lot of negativity towards Oladipo after that first game.
I'm fine. I like him.
I like him, too. All right. He's a cool dude.
Just leave her alone, all right?
He's a cool dude.
Preheating the oven.
He's a cool dude. Let's move on to our next Twitter question.
He's a cool dude.
He's a cool dude. Let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at Thunder Upper, who wants to know which second unit players looked most promising and which might be spending the most time warming the bench.
I think it's okay. Cantor's obviously going to play a ton.
Yeah.
Ilyasova, I think, will play just depending on it. Like, how's he doing? Is he shooting the ball?
Yeah.
Is he confident?
And what are you getting out of Sabonis? What you need?
Yeah.
What the matchup kind of gives you? Are you looking for charges?
Right. I think that the guys that sat the other night are going to sit a lot.
Yeah.
I think Collison, LaVerne, Morrow. And I do think that LaVerne will get his chance.
Was Houston not even activated or active? Doesn't seem like it.
Well, he's not. He must have not been.
He's active socially. He goes in the garage to eat.
I've seen him. I think you are dealing with the fact that this bench is thin. I didn't think it was as bad as we assumed it would be against the Sixers, but it was the Sixers. And I think the Sixers are better.
I actually kind of thought the Thunder bench was good.
Yeah.
I was impressed with
it. Was the difference maker in that game, which is crazy. Like, as soon as you started going to the bench, you saw like, oh, this is where the Sixers don't have much.
They can actually score. Yeah. I don't have a problem with the Thunder bench. I think that Kanter is the mainstay and that's about it.
Yep.
And compared to the Warriors bench, I got to bring it up.
But these guys are going to get confidence, man. Like, Kristen is going to start playing with a little more confidence. Sabonis is going to get more confidence. Abrinas is going to get more confidence. It's going to look better at times. And there are going to be times where it doesn't look good because they miss shots and things go down. But that's the truth for every team. Nobody goes 82-0. And so it's just the reminder, like, everybody I know that it's frustrating and it doesn't look as pretty as it has, but it could be something good. And they're a good passing team, or they could be a good passing team. And so there are some positives.
Oh my gosh, Nick Stauskas had an offensive rating of 180 the other night.
He played well, man. And Sergio Rodriguez, man. Jeez.
Oh my goodness.
He's good. That was a really great get for the Sixers.
Yeah, I like
him. Just brings so much stability and IQ to the floor with those young guys.
I like him.
All right. Our last Twitter question comes from at Simmons Class, who says, the closing lineup had Cantor and Robertson on both ends of the floor last night. What do you think crunch time lineup is in April?
I think that we don't know, because
there's been a game played, Andrew. Answer the question.
They're going to have a different team then. They're going to make a trade. They're going to make a trade between now and the trade deadline.
Somebody gets waived. That used to be the way we always do it. Like, somebody gets waived from their team and...
Yeah, I mean, this team is just going to look different. Unless Victor Oladipo just turns into like a crazy shooter, I find it hard to believe that they can play him and Robertson together all season.
Yeah.
Next to each other.
Yeah.
The spacing is just way too bad.
So you think Oladipo gets moved to the bench?
Or Robertson.
Yeah, that ain't ever happening.
Why wouldn't Robertson?
I don't know. That just seems so contrary to the way that we've ever done it.
I just think more of a confidence thing. I think Victor Oladipo would be more of like a guy that would
take that
weigh on his confidence than Robertson would. I think Robertson would just be like, all right, cool.
Blue beans.
I don't think that would be good. Maybe, I don't know. Oladipo's just been jerked around his whole career, where he's been on the bench, off the bench, point guard, not a point guard. I just don't think that the Thunder are wanting to do that. I think that they want to have like a Victor Oladipo, Russell Westbrook backcourt.
Well, and you saw it. They were trying to link up. They just haven't built any chemistry. Haven't played together enough. Yeah. And they will. Like, those alley-oops that Vic missed, like, they're going to start clicking.
Yeah.
Those are going to start going in. They just have to play together.
Yeah. They got to play ball.
Sounds like they need more alley.
Less oops. Is that a joke?
I don't know. I don't even...
You tell me.
No.
I don't even get it.
It's not a joke.
All right. Well, hey, guys, I got a question for you. It's not a joke. What stat made you say what from the first game?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
What?
I can't read lips, Jay.
Say what?
Stat of the week.
The first game.
The first game?
From the first game.
First game, what made you say what?
The basketball.
Basketball. What made you say what?
Oh my gosh. So this made me say what? Dwayne Wade hit 4 threes last night. We've already mentioned this on the pod. Mm. How many threes did he hit all last season?
Oh God. I'm going to say 9.
7.
7.
Oh my gosh.
I said what? Here's another line that made me say what? Jonas Valanciunas, did you see this? His stat line from the first game? 32 points, 11 rebounds, 1 assist.
That's crazy for him.
12, 14 from the free throw line. That was insane. He had 32 points on 15 shots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I said, what?
You know what made me say what? Miles Turner.
Oh,
I know it was an overtime game, but that guy went arf.
He did. He was really
went arf.
He went arf.
He went so arf. 30 points. Sorry, I'm at the wrong thing.
Come on,
I'm still getting used to this.
16 rebounds.
30 points, 16 rebounds, 4 blocks. Took a bunch of field goals. I mean, just took so many shots. That guy's the second best player on that team.
13 of 19.
Yeah.
So my say what stat of the week is one that's probably pretty obvious to everybody, but it's going to be a little bit different take. Anthony Davis played 41 minutes, 34 field goals, made 17 of them, 16 of 17 from the free throw line, 16 rebounds, 5 assists, 7 steals, 4 blocks, and 50 points. And they lost by 5.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think the more impressive thing is that they lost by 5 points with that game to the Nuggets.
Yeah, he's just a loser.
That's what I was going with.
You got to be better, Anthony Davis.
Come on, man.
Doesn't matter enough. If you don't get the W.
Hey, winners win.
The only...
I'm not even like understanding some of the things Luke is saying.
The only person that shot... The only person for the Pelicans that shot over 50% was Tim Frazier. That's not true, but it's close. And Lance Stevenson.
That's a lie, but also.
Langston?
Lance Stevenson.
Oh, that's Lance.
Lance is going to have to play.
A lot.
That's a thing.
Buddy Hield, not the greatest first game. 2 of 8 from the field, 0-3 from the three-point line.
Let's give rookies a little space to develop.
I just had expectations that he would score 40 in his opener.
Let the boys play.
Etuan
Moore and Solomon Hill round out that starting unit. What is that?
Those are guys that Dunked On podcast just love. They're so pumped for those signings.
God. I hate that starting lineup.
Hey, guys, I got a question for you. Jay's dancing. Are you miffed and are you peeved?
Miffed and peeved.
Come on.
Are you?
I'm not. I'm always waiting for Andrew to have a great story.
I know. Usually we can count on that. I'm not miffed off.
It's basketball season.
And I was miffed the other day, but I forgot about what?
I'm still just miffed about Halloween, but I'm not gonna rehash that.
You're miffed about Luke liking Halloween?
I'm just miffed about Halloween, but that's every year. We talked about it last week.
Lay it on me, man.
It's too much pressure, man.
Miff on me.
I'm not creative enough to figure out good costumes. And my wife always wants to go as couple costumes.
Couple costumes are hard. You know why?
Wife, chill out.
Because for me, it's all of them are like ultra sexual. I'm like, what in the world? It's either ultra sexual or I'm like Raggedy Ann and Andy.
What's ultra sexual?
Like plug and socket.
That's the first thing I thought of when you said
hot dog and bun. Like all of the ones you find online are like that.
What about ketchup mustard?
Ketchup mustard.
Nothing sexual about that. That's just a great pair. Lamb and tuna fish.
What?
Lamb and tuna fish.
Go together like spaghetti meatball.
Thanks for listening to our podcast.